Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Imagine going to the Baseball Hall of Fame and knowing nothing about baseball, or the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame having only listened to opera your whole life. That kind of disconnect is a key challenge for the curators of the Harley-Davidson Museum when it comes to presenting motorcycle engines.
One of the centerpieces of the museum's permanent collection is its engine room, a display that shows off engines from the iconic motorcycle, both how they look and how they sound. But they have to do it in a way that reaches people, regardless of their tech savvy.
The engine room just underwent a significant redesign, so it seemed like the right time to stop by the now 10-year-old museum, where we met a couple of the key people behind the engine room, starting with curatorial and exhibits lead Kristen Jones.
You know, the engine room is a really important part of our visit. It actually is in the beginning of the museum, so it really functions as an introduction to a lot of the things that people are going to see throughout the rest of the exhibits. We undertook some visitor research last year, and we were able to kind of do a deep dive into what our visitors thought of our exhibits and what they were learning in our exhibits. And one of the things that we found out was that they weren't exactly using the engine wall and the accompanying interactive in the way that we had hoped they would. So we wanted to address that, and we wanted to update some things, but also make this a little bit more user-friendly. We get all kinds of people who come here with all different levels of knowledge. We have people who come here who are completely green, don't really know anything about engines, know that, you know, with their cars, for instance, you turn the key and it goes. To people who have lots of expertise, people who are engineers, people who are long-term mechanics. So we wanted to do something that could really focus on all of those different levels of knowledge.
Well, and so from a curatorial standpoint, what was the challenge in being able to do that in this space?
One of the challenges that we faced was really trying to make sure that we were holding everyone's attention. We wanted to make sure we were giving some of the basics, but also not making people who had a certain level of expertise feel like, oh, well, this really isn't for me. I know all of this already. We want to make sure that we engage people. We want to give them something new, maybe something that they never expected or didn't know before.
All right, so what is that? What's the new and unexpected when it comes to showcasing engines?
Well, the engines are really the heart of a Harley-Davidson, and each one is purpose-built. It's purpose-designed. So some of the engines were really, you know, made for racing, for instance, or they were made to cool in the desert for use during World War II. But our big twin family, that's really the core of our engine and our engine history. And we wanted to be able to give people some information as to the very basics of how an engine works, but also give them some trivia and also give some other assets out here on the floor.
I'm kind of amazed as I look at this because you have them arranged on the wall in timeline fashion. And obviously the newer ones are more sophisticated, but the look really hasn't changed all that much in 100 plus years.
Correct. And that V-twin shape, that 45-degree V-twin engine is really the hallmark of our engine history. And that's what we wanted to portray by putting those engines in the center. So we relocated all of the big twins to the center of the wall so that they're prominent. We added some interpretation as well. But we do have some unusual-looking engines that really deviate from that as well.
Before we get into the actual mechanics of a Harley engine, what else is in this room?
So this room is our engine gallery. We have many things dedicated to the look of the engine, the sound of the engine, and also the feel of the engine. And those are kind of the hallmark traits of Harley-Davidson: look, sound, and feel. So in the center of the gallery, we have a bike that is a knucklehead, which actually is one of the nicknames of one of our famous V-twins, where the pieces have been sliced apart, but from a certain vantage point, it resolves into a full motorcycle.
And as someone who does this kind of thing for a living, that is kind of, I mean, the viewscape that you have in this room. I mean, it is a big room, and you have kind of this unique ability to arrange it in such a way that it can be broken down into its component parts, but you can stand in such a way that it resolves into a single bike.
Yes, it's the exploded vehicle. It does resolve from a certain vantage point. And again, because this is one of the first galleries that people encounter during their visit, we wanted to give kind of a nice little extra surprise for people.
All right, so I appreciate the look of the engine. I appreciate the sound of the engine. Never having ridden a Harley myself, tell me how you simulate the feel of an engine?
We have an interactive here in the engine gallery where we actually have people be able to get a little bit more of a sense of the feel of a motorcycle. Now, of course, we're on radio, so you don't see me, but I'm a smaller individual. But I am able to balance a motorcycle because of the gyroscopic effect that's created by the very heavy flywheels that are in the engine. So the bike, when it's running at that speed, really wants to stay upright. So that allows people of all different sizes to be able to get on a big bike and ride it.
All right. Well, I feel like at this point we really need to get more into the inner workings of the Harley engine. And before we do that, why don't I have you introduce yourself? Who are you and what do you do here?
My name's Bill Rudensel, and I am the lead for museum collections here.
All right. So take me through what visitors learn when they walk into this engine room. I'm sure they are drawn to this wall because A, it is illuminated, and B, it looks amazing.
Exactly. And that's part of the visual is to draw them in, to attract them here. And once we have them, what a lot of people, they know an engine, they know it powers whatever vehicle it is. They just don't know actually how it works. So we tried to really simplify in the most basic terms, how does an engine actually work? And people talk about, our look, sound, feel. The way our engine and the geometry of our engine affects all of that. So we really explain through there. So we can actually, when guests come here, there are four kiosks that are all identical, have the same information, but they can step up to there, and there's three actual steps to the interactive. Engine basics, classic Harley engine, where you actually learn about our big twin, which is our classic Harley engine, and then get to explore all the engines that are exist on the engine wall. You get to actually look at both sides of them, see vehicles that they would be in, and then actually get to hear each and every engine that's on the wall.
And we should note that the engines on the wall are not the one, that they don't actually start up.
They don't actually start up. What we did is we had about, in our previous iteration of the wall, we had about half of the sounds. So we went about kind of traveling the United States to find, because some of these engines, they may be, they're one or two existing examples that actually run. And so we kind of did some field recordings to capture those unique sounds. And people get to hear a 1909 Harley single, or get to hear a Pose twin engine, which is a very different sounding engine than our typical twin.
So before we get to those sounds, because I think we really ought to hear some of those sounds, walk us through what we would learn here. What are the basics of a motorcycle engine?
So part of this wall, there's a little tactile display on the far right side and on the far left side, where people know a cylinder. Okay, well, what makes up a cylinder? What are the parts of that? So we actually have some pieces that they can touch and see to kind of get their feet wet a little bit before they get into the kiosk. Once they get into the kiosk, we start real simple. What's a one cylinder and what's a two cylinder, or our twin engine? When they started out, they called them singles and double cylinders, and now it's evolved into the twin. So you actually get to kind of look inside. So there's some animation. You get to see, how does that piston go up? What is a piston first? And how does it go up and down in the cylinder? How is it connected to the flywheel? And be able to compare and contrast between twins and single engines. And then you can actually touch the twins, and it'll highlight in a graphic which engines on the wall you're looking at are the twins or are the singles. We talk about the actual engine geometry, 45 degrees, where the cylinders are separated, 45 degrees, 60 degrees, or 180 degrees. This is a real big key in the sound of our engine. Engines have a cadence. And a single, having only one cylinder, is kind of a steady beat. In a 180-degree opposed twin, they fire actually opposite of each other. So it's boom, 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 boom. In our 45-degree twin, it's actually a cadence where they fire quickly after one another. So it's ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Also in here, you get to look at how it works. When we do how it works, we put a simple drum beat to it. This is our 180 degree, and you can see it's pretty constant. When you go to our 45 degree twin, little different pattern to that. And then, of course, single, when you go to the single, it's steady drum beat.
Steady, and in this case, very slow drum beat.
Yeah, and you notice it's only hitting half the time as a twin cylinder. There's, you know, when we talk about the four actual patterns of an engine, the flywheel, the big flywheel in the engine, will actually rotate two complete times in order to complete those four cycles of a four-cycle engine.
And so, you went out on these field recordings?
I did, actually. Believe it or not, in a past life, my degree from college was in sound engineering, and so I used to do a lot of that. And so I worked with a local engineer, and we traveled as far away as North Carolina to actually capture some of these engines. Some of them we found right around here in Milwaukee. One of them, the rarest, being our 8-valve, which is it's a race engine. They only made about 25 total, so finding one and then finding one that runs is really extremely rare.
That must have been a kick.
It was great, and we actually made a couple little films of it, and you know, people will be able to actually, you know, go on our social media and see one of these run. They're really unique because there's no exhaust pipes on them, so the ports into the cylinder are open, and flames actually shoot out when it runs. So it's pretty neat.
We should hear this.
We should hear that one. Other race engines are XR750 that we had for years and years. And both of these are twin cylinders, but what's unique about them is, even though they're all 45 degrees, there is some bit of similarity between all of those.
Is there one that we would maybe never recognize as a Harley-Davidson if it weren't for the fact that you were telling us?
Absolutely. So if you go to our singles, there's several in here, but one of them is, believe it or not, we made from 1961 until 1978, we were partnered with a company in Italy, and they made some Italian-made singles, so we'll take a listen to one of these. Harley-Davidson also made a single-cylinder engine that was a two-stroke engine. So when you think of two-stroke, think of your lawnmower or something similar to that. And it was 165cc engine, and we made that from the 40s into the mid-60s. And you can take a listen to one of those.
Maybe the slightest bit louder than a lawnmower.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But very different. Not what people think of as that quintessential Harley-Davidson potato, potato, potato.
Let me ask this question to both of you, actually. Sure. So this came together over how long did it take to bring this this revamped engine room together?
We were working on it for about 7 months.
So there has to be, if not a sense of ownership, certainly a real connection to what you've been able to do. As you look around, I mean, how do you, you know, sort of reconcile what was in your mind with what you see around us today?
I think what we've done really, you know, sometimes we were both involved in the original iteration, and sometimes it's hard to let go of that. But I think what we've done here really improves the experience for our visitors. You know, we are coming up on our 10th year of being open. And we're really evaluating how people have been using things here over the past 10 years and always looking to improve and always looking to give our visitors the best experience possible.
Well, right. I imagine that, you know, at one level you have to realize that that what you do doesn't exist in a vacuum. Like, what you think visitors might get out of an exhibit and what they actually do get out of an exhibit can often be two different things.
Yes, I think that that's true. I think, you know, sometimes what people, what we envision people getting out of an exhibit is actually different from what we observe. And one of the things that's difficult, we have such an amazing, vast collection of materials here. And of course, it's hard for us to sometimes decide what to edit. And that was one of the challenges with this engine wall, is that we actually took some engines away because they didn't really help to tell the story that we were looking to tell.
I have to say, the thing that was really came through to me is we're such a small group that did this, and the first time we did it, it was, we were we didn't know. We had never, you know, even built a museum of this magnitude. So we were like, well, this would be neat. And even that changed as we did it. And you came out with the final product, and it was great. Then you find out, we could have done it better. And so we were really lucky to get that second shot to say, let's do it. Let's do some of the things we wanted to do in the first time. Like Kristen said, take away some of the things that, you know, we put up there just because they were neat, but did they confuse people? Did it not really, you know, tell that story that you wanted to communicate? Plus, in 10 years, the company has changed a lot, and we've come out with a lot of different new products, and we want to represent those on the wall as well.
Has to be a little like being a musician who, you know, puts out an album and figures, well, this one's going to be the hit, and it turns out everybody likes this one.
A little bit of that, or the musician that says, oh, if I could go in and re-record that. And so we were given the ability to actually, like, you know, do a do-over and say, let's do it. And so we didn't really radically change it, because it's quite behind the actual wall, the structure that holds it up. There's no moving it. It's pretty permanent. But we were able to, shift it around and really, I think, just tell the story clearer.
Got to be a pretty strong wall. Those must be pretty heavy engines.
There's quite a superstructure, actually, behind the drywall there. But we've actually modified the way that we're attaching the engines so that in the future, as we want to make additional changes, we can do so more easily.
Well, thanks to both of you, and congratulations on the redesign.
My pleasure. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Kristen Jones is the curatorial and exhibits lead, and Bill Redensel is the collections lead at the Harley-Davidson Museum. You can see a slideshow from the museum's redesigned engine room at wuwm.com. I don't want